Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi about midway through the gospel, midway through his earthly narrative. By then he'd drawn a lot of crowds, and of course we know from earlier texts in recent weeks that some of these crowds began to leave him too, in considerable numbers. And there began to be a lot of confusion and concern about who he was and what he was up to. And so at this kind of crucial moment in the gospel story, he brings his disciples together, and it's kind of time for a reality check here. And he asks them, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? What's being said about me? And we know from not just this account, but others, that they responded, well, some say you're a great prophet. You know, a teacher, some think you're Elijah, come back from the dead. Some think that you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. A lot of answers to that question. A lot of speculation, a lot of uncertainty. And then in this really high point of the narrative, Jesus turns to Peter and says, who do you say that I am? And Peter makes what is called the good confession. You are the Christ, or in this version, Mark's Gospel, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, that's, as I say, that is one of the critical high points in the Gospel narrative. For there, the confession is made. The identity of Jesus is brought forth, not by Jesus himself, but by one whose mind has been opened, whose heart has been opened by the Spirit of God to see in Jesus of Nazareth, the messianic promise fulfilled, to see the promise of life fulfilled, the question answered, life responded to. Well, it's been 20 centuries or so, and we've been making this confession among all peoples, from generation to generation, nation to nation, through good times and bad times, when it's been popular and when it's been extraordinarily unpopular. And we keep making it. We live in a time, of course, where the confession of Jesus is not popular. In my lifetime, just in the 30 plus years I've been in the ministry, I have seen in my own church a shift away from the centrality of Christ in its theology, to a point today where many are embarrassed by the confession of Jesus as Lord. They're content to talk about God. They're content to talk about the Holy Spirit, because you can do anything with those terms. But when we insist on proclaiming Christ, there the trouble starts. A few years ago, Linda and I were on our way to Europe, and we were down in Florida, waiting at an airport to catch a plane. Not something I recommend, by the way. Sitting in Florida in an airport, waiting for an airplane, I think the humidity was 380% or something like that. But we were there, and it was okay. It was air conditioned, so. And I sat down next to this young fellow in the waiting area there. He had what he called dreads, the hair, you know. It's a black fellow, and his hair was all knotted up, really massive. And we started chatting, very friendly, nice guy, just, you know, very outgoing and pleasant, and one thing led to another, and he asked what I did, and I told him, and of course, we were on to that topic. And we got to talking about spirituality and God and faith, and he made the comment to me that said, you know, I really admire Jesus. I love Jesus. He was a great teacher and a great example, and if the world would be like Jesus was, it'd be a different place. And I said to him, well, that isn't much of a Jesus, is it? He looked at me kind of funny. I said, I could say as much about my grandmother. She was a nice person. If the world were like my grandmother, it'd be a really great place. So I said, I think we can do better. Jesus, I said, is the human face of God. And then he looked at me. Oh, I never thought about it like that. You see, it's really two sides of a coin. It's the best of news for sinners, and it's the worst of news for sinners. It's the best of news for sinners because here's the answer that we've been looking for. It's the worst of news because it's the only answer. That's the problem. That's the problem, you see. Well, you have to hand it to God for bringing himself down to such a fine point, you see. And that's the great glory of the gospel. And when we confess it in the creed, this is really the high point of our confession. Born of the Virgin Mary and was made man for us. For us wandering, lost, confused people who make up life as we go along, who play by rules most of the time that somebody else made up and we don't even know who they are. And into this confused, wandering place, God has come in a specific life, who did specific things and said certain specific things that set in motion an entirely new trajectory toward an entirely new future. A future that has real promise. Now, for the next couple of months, you know, we're going to have to endure the politics of our electoral process, right? And you've heard me say here before, you know, and I'm an equal opportunity political destroyer. A pox on all your houses, you see. I will vote as you will, based on my conscience and my beliefs and all the rest of it. But let's be frank, these guys don't have the answers. I said earlier in my comments on time, we Christian people set our agenda for living not based on the lords of this world, but the one who comes at the end of time. That's when things will be summated. He is the one who will bring to fruition and completion the incompleteness of our existence. These politicians cannot, will not do it. Christians should vote as good citizens, yes. Absolutely, and do our best to be good citizens where we are, whether we're in Africa, United States, Southeast Asia, China, Korea, wherever we are, be good citizens. But there is one Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't sit in anybody's house. He reigns over the creation. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is in the miracle of the confession of this same Jesus that faith in God is born. I have not seen it happen in any other way. In my years in the church, before I was a pastor and since I've been a pastor, I have not seen anyone come to faith in God except through Jesus Christ. I have not seen it happen. Because it's not supposed to happen any other way. God has made it easy for us. And this is why we must persist in confessing Christ alone. Not because it is easy, not because it is popular, but because it is the truth. It is in the very specific message of the gospel of the crucified and risen Jesus that God has chosen to give his Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, St. Paul said. Hearing what? Platitudes? No. By hearing the word, the message of Jesus Christ. Is that why you're here? Somewhere along your life journey, your pilgrimage through this wandering world, didn't you hear somewhere someone speak of Jesus, and in some moment or through some moments of time, your life was awakened to the truth that is in him? Is that not why you are here? That's why I'm here. And I can say with the apostle, as you can, you know, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There are lots of other places I would rather be as a Christian at times. When I face the ridicule and the dismissiveness of people, the hardness, the difficulty of making the confession. But no matter how difficult that may get, there is life in no other name. In his word of promise and forgiveness, in the continual coming of his Holy Spirit through the word, the constant renewing and opening of the future, the peace that passes all understanding, all of these words that describe the presence of God in Jesus Christ are for the Christian the reality of his life and his presence among us. We don't know what tomorrow will bring with regard to the life and the mission of the church. It may get harder. You know, it may get harder to confess Christ in our own society. In some places, I suppose it already is. They're pushing God words out of all kinds of institutions in this society. I suppose it could even one day reach into the church door. But for those of us who have found in him the only life that matters, there can be no alternative but to confess him. There simply cannot. For this for us is not religion. This is life. To live as Christ. To take up the daily mantle of living is to serve him. To look forward to the future is not ultimately to look forward to a retirement home or a nest egg that comes to fruition or anything else. It's to look forward to being with him. And so when we are asked, who do you say that I am? I pray that you may be able to say from your heart, you are the Messiah. You are my Messiah, my Lord, my Christ, the Son of the living God, my life, my hope, my all in all. Amen.